I read about this. Jerry Lewis is in trouble for using a gay slur during his telethon. How much trouble is he in? Maybe not that much, right?
No, actually, he apologized, and the apology was accepted immediately. But still, you know, when you say something like that on the air.
How many years has Jerry Lewis been doing his telethon?
Labor Day telethon?
Hundreds.
No, closing in on 40, right?
Yeah.
30-some years, yeah. I believe, and I think it was his biggest ever record amount of money was raised.
And he is beloved.
Jerry Lewis is part of our culture.
And the word he uses, actually, I assume, is one that we can say.
Well, that's one of the questions I was asking yesterday. Love
Casey
being
says
around.
No, we shouldn't. I tend to
we can't
err
say
on
the N-word. Why can we say that word?
Mike?
Jerry first did the telethon in 1966.
41 years now.
And he used Fruity at that time because... No.
He said Fruity, yeah.
He said Fruity at that time.
And I don't know. Different words are charged differently.
It was aired everywhere.
I mean, like, I can say... what are some words that we can say that are ethnic?
I mean, we can...
I can write them down for you.
You guys are afraid to answer. That's funny.
It's a snake pit world out there for the politically incorrect.
Yes, Eric.
Well, the issue here is that the FCC won't shut us down, but there are all kinds of special interest groups that might raise all kinds of
just
protests.
For saying a word, and even though a guy I know who is of that persuasion uses the word in his syndicated newspaper column to describe himself.
Exactly.
Why don't we call him right now and find out if we can play it live?
No, he would be happy to say it. So so this is
well,
like
Chris Ross
this is how this
bomb.
Is how on pins
yeah,
and needles
why, right?
Everybody is. Anyway, Jerry Lewis has apologized for using an anti-gay slur. While attempting to be funny, he described a fictional member of a staffer's family as, quote, the illiterate, and the word rhymes with bag.
Yeah.
Yesterday, he issued a statement accepting full responsibility for his mistake, apologizing to anyone he offended, assuring us he's not prejudiced, which I don't think he is, and asking that the telethon's purpose of raising money for muscular dystrophy not be forgotten. And incidentally, another word that rhymes with that, glad... The Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation accepted his apology. Said, no big deal. This is a bleeped version of Jerry Lewis?
No, it's not a bleeped version. I didn't got the other one. I asked around, and I was told that we could play it on the air.
Nah, I don't want to play it.
Yeah.
And you know what?
It's great, by the way.
It's great.
I'm not kidding.
It well, is now, so, thanks.
Okay, let me explain to you why. I got the video. I was watching it yesterday after the show, and it was so surprising the way he uses it. It's out of, I don't know.
Well,
it's
you got to remember, Jerry Lewis is from a different time. He's from a different era.
Sure, it went back when the dogs and the cocks were fighting. I know.
Whatever. He's a, you know, he
by the way, we were
the
talking about that. Whoopi Goldberg was defending Michael Vick.
Right.
And what she was saying is where he grew up, the whole idea of cockfighting and dogs fighting was not such a strange thing. And it's part of his upbringing. You didn't believe that at all.
I don't believe that at all.
Thought she was playing some kind of a po-me race card.
Well, I think she's playing, Joe nailed it more than I, the publicity card. I mean, she is looking for...
Well, that's her job.
Ink. I know, but do you champion, or not champion, but do you defend Michael Vick?
I don't defend Michael Vick, but I would say that all these people who are trying to make dogfighting more important than the war in Iraq, I don't agree with that either. I don't think it's more important than pedophilia. I don't think some guy trying to pick up another guy in a restroom is more important.
I don't think anybody's trying to do that.
It's anywhere deserving of the news coverage or the attention or the shame wag of the finger that our stupid nanny society has on these. These are things that certainly there are laws and they should be dealt with, but I don't think that they're the big national issue.
The thing with Michael Vick and dogfighting is if you're going to be a poster boy for a pro sports organization, any, then you better act like a decent citizen.
Get out there and murder somebody.
Hey.
Just act like all the other ones.
Ain't like he's on a Wheaties box either.
Now, who's worse, slasher? Michael Vick or Travis Henry, the running back who has 9 kids with 9 different women, and he's only in his early 20s?
Who's worse?
What?
Yeah. Michael Vick.
You think Mike, that's...
You think having 9 kids with 9 different women is just
what's
being
wrong
a,
with that?
A mediocre... Or dad.
Ain't against the law.
It's not against the law to do that.
When
and
you start not paying child support, it
different.
Becomes against
that's not
the
what
law.
You said.
Okay. So, and by the way, Eric did do the research. And all I said was, I wasn't defending Michael Vick, by the way.
Well, but she
all I said was that, I start talking like my East Coast friends, all I was trying to say is here.
Was he's from a lesser class of people.
The way he was raised.
Happy ain't that big a deal.
There are cultures where this stuff happens.
Yeah, not only that, it's actually legal in Honduras and Japan, of all places.
He
I wouldn't
ain't
have expected
from Honduras
that.
Or
hold
Japan.
On a second. Oh, well, then why aren't we attacking Japan again? Let's bring out the Pearl Harbor ships because they believe in dogfighting.
Oh,
And I do think it was.
Well, it is a controversial
thing. Eat the loser at least. Come on.
At least it's eaten. Go ahead. Give me the more specifics.
Sure, absolutely. In fact, it's gaining a lot of popularity in Eastern Europe, and the Russian mafia love it because there's a ton of money to be made. Also, the Italian mafia.
I'm saying if it's one of the great evils of humanity, and right. we're focused in on one guy,
okay.
And we're making it more important than the war in Iraq, okay. and we're making it
nobody's,
more important.
Nobody's doing
so
that.
Why are we talking
sorry,
about it?
I'm sorry. Do you
exactly.
watch any cable news?
Why are we talking about
it's
it?
Not because we're already drowned.
Because Spike is wrong. That's why we're talking about it. Ron in Bellevue. Hello, Ron. You're on the air.
Tie this man up and hang him. God, Ron.
Bob.
Yeah.
You know, Whoopi should not be on national TV behind Vic at all. That's wrong.
I'm with you, man.
Well, she defended her show because there's so much bitch fighting there in that show. She needs to protect her.
Her show is all about bitch fighting. It should be outlawed.
Yeah, but ain't nobody drowning Rosie when she loses a fight.
Ron, go ahead. Keep talking.
Spike, you're right. I mean, go for it. Just nail him. Nail Bob. There's no way that anybody should be behind or for Vic.
Hold on, Ron. I did not. I was not behind Vic. I was not for Vic. I don't even think Whoopi was. I think she was trying to put it into perspective to say, hey, do you guys even realize that there are places where this stuff is legal? And no one does.
He ain't from those places. She's trying to say where he's from in rural Virginia, which ain't all that rural Virginia, by the way, where he's from, that this is kind of commonplace. They have cockfighting, they have dog fighting.
But I do think this was a way that Michael Vick stayed in touch with his
homie.
The people he grew up with.
That's what Whoopi was trying to say. And did you know prior to today that dog fighting was legal in Japan?
I did not know that dog fighting was legal in Japan. I did know it was.
All we're trying to do is enlighten you a little. We're not trying to defend
Virginia.
Michael Vick. We're not saying dog fighting is a good thing.
So this is educational for you now, Bob.
That's why we're here.
All right. Thank you, Ron.
I don't ever want to talk about Michael Vick again.
We're not talking about Michael Vick. We're talking about Whoopi Goldberg.
She has every right to bring up a different perspective, and we can all hate her for it and move on.
Whoopi Goldberg's using Michael Vick's sensationalism of his case to promote her new seat in that chair. Her new job on The View. That's the only reason she mentioned Michael.
Good job. And so,
no,
you went, so she's doing a good job.
No,
yes.
It ain't.
May I remind the show, we were talking about Jerry Lewis. And then
thank
it went
you.
Into an aside.
Which we decided, by the way, he's a good man who's raised money for muscular dystrophy
right.
for 40 years.
Drop an F-bomb.
Cut him a break.
And the only thing Jerry did wrong, I mean, he comes from a guy, you know, he does comedy roasts and stuff. You have to kind of remember which material is appropriate for which stage. And when you've been up for many, many hours, your little editor doesn't work as well, and that's what happened.
What
with
hour
Jerry.
Of the telethon was it on?
It was the 18th hour.
Yeah, come on, that's a
yeah. The 24th, he would have used the N word, probably.
Okay. Yes. Would be defending Michael Vick. We already did that. McCain is accused of being too old to be president. A New Hampshire high school student asked Senator McCain, "If elected, you'd be older than Ronald Reagan." Making you the oldest president. He meant you'd be older than Reagan was when he was elected,
exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
And do you ever worry that you might die in office or get Alzheimer's or some other disease?
If elected, you'd be older than Ronald Reagan, making you the oldest president. Do you ever worry that you might die in office or get Alzheimer's or some other disease that might affect your judgment?
Well, you know, my children for many, many years have questioned my awareness. I don't pay attention to some of the music that they like. In fact, when I do pay attention to it, I must say that it's not, they're not my favorites. I think it was my son, one of my sons that alleged that I'm getting to the point where I hide my own Easter eggs. But I don't think, look, when you saw my 95-year-old mother there, I think you saw the kind of genes that I have. I work 24/7. I'm very active. I enjoy life. I am involved and engaged. And people will judge by the vigor and the enthusiasm associated with our campaign. Every campaign I've ever been in my life, I've out-campaigned all of my opponents. And,
he's doing good so far, but wait for it. Wait for it.
And thanks for the question, you little jerk. You're drafted.
Awesome.
Yeah, people were happy yesterday. I heard some comments in talk radio last night, and they were like, oh, finally, McCain woke up.
Maybe it's what it took, was some kid calling him to the carpet, you know? That's a fair question. It's a decent question.
I asked him about it today, though, and he couldn't even remember.
Yeah.
What
kid? Oh, man.
You know, increasingly these questions are going to be asked by snowmen and other strange YouTube phenomena. So,
and by the way,
I thought it was a disrespectful question.
Personally. Well, that's one of the things that people were saying yesterday. The kid just out of the blue came up with that question.
Yeah, the way it was asked was disrespectful, but then he's a kid. He doesn't know to
what
say.
Do you think he might, you know, you're going to be the oldest president ever? You're worried about dying in office?
Or coming up with Alzheimer's or something
it
that makes you wander the street and go, I've fallen and I can't get up?
He kind of. Man. What button do I push for gone?
Okay. The drought in the Southeast is so bad, a church in South Carolina has suspended baptisms.
To save water.
What?
Did you know we were suffering from a terrible drought?
I did.
Yeah, Michael Vick is drowning dogs in mineral water.
Oh, no, see, I won't let it go, but this clam dip's still making Michael Vick jokes.
In Rock Springs, South Carolina, water is so scarce that the Rock Springs Baptist Church stopped baptizing people. The pastor says, we've got three people waiting to be baptized. I guess if the rapture comes, tough luck for them. He didn't say that.
How much water do you need for a baptism?
You know, they must do it the old-fashioned way with
a pool,
do it like a toga party in the river kind of a thing, I guess.
Baptism is full submersion.
Oh, okay. It's not a cannonball.
Because in the Catholic Church, it's just like a little dish.
It's a little drop of water on the forehead.
No, I was baptized as Baptist, and they've got almost a mini pool where the reverend gets up past his waist.
Right.
You walk out there, and they dunk you all the way. That's the rules.
Okay.
Next up on the tiny story file, an Austrian woman lives with her dead aunt for a year. Authorities found the mummified remains of her aunt, who had died at the age of 96. Officers found the corpse under a blanket on a bed after ignoring the 51-year-old niece's pleas that don't go in there. My aunt is sleeping and should not be disturbed.
Was this a story of cashing grandma's check or cashing
a preliminary inquiry determined that the niece, who had been taken to a psychiatric hospital for examination, covered up the death for financial reasons. Yeah. Those checks kept coming.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She waxed her? How did she mummify the body?
I think that's just a word used to describe people that are dead for... So okay.
I mean,
I don't want to say, but I mean, if you walk in a room and it smells nice, then that's mummified. is that what it is?
Yeah, basically.
It's finished decomposing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Like Keith Richards the next time.
Keith Richards is the only living mummified remains on the planet. An autopsy was planned to check whether any foul play was involved. She was 96, though.
Come on.
And this is a whistler's mother, kind of a strange aunt. Checks kept coming. We'll report the death.
Criminal act or mental illness, you know?
Yeah, maybe next year we'll report it.
Who is worse, her or Michael Vick? Question.
Come on.
Oh, boy, that's a hard one for me.
No, it ain't. Let it go.
No, she's extorting.
Stole $500 from the state over a year's time. Come
she's
on.
Extorting money from real human beings who have true feelings.
Extorting money?
Sure. She's cashing mom's checks for a year. Yeah, that's
a sinful omission. Didn't bother to tell the government she died.
See, Spike's totally on her side.
Come on.
Whereas I think that's a serious crime. But you're not going to get me on Michael Vick's side. I was just saying that cockfighting and dogfighting are things that have existed in human cultures. That's all I'm saying.
Not ours.
Well, smoking in bars used to exist in our culture. Now, are the people who still want to smoke in bars evil?
200 years from now, they will be.
Will they be evil?
Sure.
A 9-year-old mathematics prodigy has become Hong Kong's youngest undergraduate. This kid is 9 years old, and he is going to Hong Kong Baptist University at the age of 9, studying for a master's degree. They have entrance exams for Hong Kong Baptist University. They're given to usually 17 and 18-year-olds entering college. This 9-year-old aced the exams, got A pluses.
Damn.
March Bodaharjo, or something like that, Indonesian Chinese boy, went to school and was interviewed by the press as he left after the first day, and he said, quote, It was too easy. He said, I learned that stuff last year. The university has designed a 5-year program for the 9-year-old child, which this is very controversial. Some education experts say that his personal and social development might be stunted by going to college at age 9.
Well, of course it will be. You gotta. Well, but is that a bad thing?
I think brains like that should be stunted socially.
Direct them
so that they can get to work on curing cancer and the
right.
stuff they're supposed to do.
They shouldn't be slowed down.
Yeah.
We don't want, the, we don't want that.
Adequate time for peeking through a girl's bedroom window or something like that. These guys got
get to work on the cure for cancer now, little man.
Really? There'll be plenty of time to fondle yourself later after you've cured cancer.
But aren't you ruining the poor kid's life? I mean, the kid needs to leave, go out, play, work in a sweatshop there in China. I don't know, something like that.
Joe doesn't like the story, he said.
Well, it's not that I don't like it. I don't like giving people attention that commit this crime. I think it's one of the, you know, one of the crimes.
Did this guy do dogfighting like Michael Vick?
No. He peeped in the girls' bedrooms.
No.
Underage girls.
Ooh.
Bad news.
That's why I keep mine on the second floor. You better have a heck of a ladder.
Hey, you know, I had a teenage daughter, and it was when they built a property behind our house on Queen Anne Hill.
That's what you were afraid of?
Why I moved, you bet.
You moved for that reason primarily?
I did, yes. Looking into my backyard, my kid's room, you bet I did.
Now, while I don't like the story, I think he might have a legitimate legal case here, because what they've taken from him is quite valuable.
Perfectly legal, normal porn.
Okay.
Well, I don't know how normal it is.
Well, it's normal in the eyes of the beholder.
It's over 18 consenting adult pornography.
He's filed suit against the San Rafael Police in Marin County.
Okay.
Even though he's convicted for the whole Peeping Tom thing, his lawyer says there's no legal foundation for them to withhold perfectly legal adult-oriented material. He has 500 pornographic movies and 250 magazines.
That catalog numbered copies of Wrinkled and Ready in leather-bound binders.
And
why
do you need to go out? I mean, that ought to be enough. You just stay at home at that
Who's
point.
Who's got time to peep?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
The video collection alone, they say, is worth $10,000. He was arrested in 2002. Charged with taping a 16-year-old girl and her, I guess it was her 45-year-old woman, too, in an apartment complex where he worked. A lawyer representing the city said they wanted direction from a judge whether it would be lawful or appropriate to return, and I can't believe I'm going to use the word, his porn stash. Should he get it back?
Of course he should get it back.
Well, my first reaction is the same. It's separate from the incident he's been convicted of.
He bought it fair and square. Mm-hmm. He owns it fair and square.
But what if he's a pyro and it's legal to have matches? What if this stuff gets this guy too aroused?
Well, there's two schools of thought on that, by the way. One is that there are studies that say the increased availability of adult materials and the ease of getting them has actually cut down on these kinds of crimes. Obviously, this guy would be... not illustrative of that statistic.
Yeah.
But, you know, there is some school of thought that says that, and there's another school of thought that says it gets them all riled up.
Right.
I have no idea which is true. I don't think any of us do. And I think it's probably different for every individual. Yes. Some individuals go, well, I've taken care of my fantasy. Whew, now I can, you know, go back to being the principal at my high school.
As far as rights to your personal
property. Go watch the cheerleading squad go through their motions.
There are laws of seizure involved. I mean, like if, say, you were a drug dealer and they, even if you only had a little drugs, they could come in and take your home, take, you know, your cars.
Do those apply to pornography?
How does that apply to porn?
Well, if you were convicted of a crime that involved that.
Well, there's a school of thought that says that this stuff riles people up and incites them to commit crimes, and I'm sure for some people, it's sort of like the whole thing, does TV cause TV and movies cause violence,
right,
or are they just an outlet? I think you just blame the person who does the crime for the crime,
right,
and you can try to live in as free a society as you can, but you also have to have some limits. Does that make sense? It's a balanced approach.
Has there been an increase in this kind of behavior since pornography has become
the study
so easy to get?
I read, which, by the way, I distrust all studies because I think people who do them have a motivation.
Mm-hmm.
But the study I read most recently said there is a decline in this kind of crime.
In criminal offenses.
Now, whenever the Dateline van pulls into town, there's an increase. Like I said, I don't trust the study.
Okay.
I don't know. This story involves an attack, the weapon, a bag of Cheetos. Did you pass on this story too, Jim?
I did. I heard about this. I didn't pass on it, but I didn't deem
Mike
it.
Brings me in stories that Joe's holding out on.
Well, I get here at 4 standards. In the morning. I go through and I look through all stuff. This stuff, yeah, and it gets shoved aside. And when a new pile
comes in. I did a bunch of your stuff,
in.
Too. Yeah. Which one am I missing on your stuff?
Oh, I don't. I found a
Cheetos as a weapon is pretty cool. Though.
Well, the guy threw a bag of Cheetos. It hit him in the head. It scratched his face and got some dust on his shirt. There's the story.
Wait, paint the picture, Joe.
Well, I'll let somebody
Joe,
else.
Joe wants to make Mike's story look
the
bad.
The jaundiced orange Cheeto dust.
A man was charged with a cheesy snack attack on his dad.
Police okay, said, this is better writing than I had my AP version.
The weapon, a bag of Cheetos. Patrick Haman, 22, of Des Moines. Not our Des Moines, I hope.
No,
it's Iowa.
It's Iowa. He was arrested on a charge of domestic assault. Domestic assault for throwing a bag of Cheetos at his father. Now, when I first heard this, I thought two things. I thought, one, bag of Cheetos is pretty soft. They're made of air.
Yes, and the bag's filled with air.
How could anybody, file charges on their own son,
right?
You know, for what's clearly just a minor dispute? But then I heard there was bloodshed. Dun, dun, dun. See, I can make this. I can sell this.
You can do it better than me, yeah.
Bloodshed and Cheeto dust.
The bag hit his father's glasses, causing a cut to the bridge of the nose. So that's a pretty, you know, maybe we, that's a relief pitcher, throwing a bag of Cheetos.
Okay. And that's the crunchy ones, not the puffy, because puffy right, would never big. Do that.
Yeah. Yeah. The police report said that Michael's T-shirt was also covered in Cheeto dust. Police said that Patrick, who lives with his father, admitted he was on methamphetamine. Which is obvious he wasn't on pot, because if he was smoking pot, he never would have wasted them.
He's busy licking his fingers and throwing you. Damn.
You're right, Joe. Your stories are better.
Though, well, I'm not saying that.
There's a dad.
I just hit Joe on the bridge of the nose.
I'm just saying.
Look at the dust on his shirt.
If we had a video camera, you could see how we operate. We start with a pile, and it grows as the day goes on. Yeah. Since my pile is here first, it always winds up on the bottom.
Mike jumps the line.
All right, which story should I do?
There's a couple tiny stories. There's one, I'm not sure why this guy is stealing these, but a guy with a gambling habit decided on a really interesting thing that would be the one thing you'd steal. And it's on your front page.
Okay.
It's about the smallest one in the middle of the page.
A man sentenced to 3 years in prison for stealing 66... colonscopes. Yes, that's what it sounds like. From hospitals in six states and selling them to support his gambling addiction. Michael Marburger, 36, was also ordered to pay $1.6 million in restitution. Colonscopes are worth a lot of money.
Damn. Where do you...
Just to work at a company that says, we make colonscopes, you're going to charge up the butt for that.
Yeah. It seems like such a specialized product. How do you fence one? Uh-huh. And how do you walk out of a hospital with one? Where do you... I hate to say it.
Clench your cheeks together and walk really tight steps.
How do you steal a colonscope?
Yeah.
And
I'm going to finish this at home.
And then who do you call to say...
I got some hot colonscopes here.
Cheap. Man. I got a good ones
got
for cheap.
Place to move.
The colonscopes he sold to medical equipment exchange businesses. So apparently there's...
Is an aftermarket
do a quick eBay on a colonscope. Ooh. See what they go for.
So Cheeto's story gets dismissed by Joe, but somehow this colonscope story gets a gold star. I don't.
I look for uniqueness. I don't know. I'd never even heard of such a thing, and I never thought...
Ladies, quit your bickering. Let's just move on.
Girls.
He sold the colonscopes to medical exchange businesses. A prosecutor said the thefts occurred at hospitals in Pennsylvania, Ohio, Indiana, Virginia, West Virginia, and New York. So he went state to state.
Yeah, you bet.
In a real premeditated fashion, and probably had to get a lot of colonoscopies to do them.
Colonoscope goes for about $5,000.
Is it a colonoscope?
Colonoscope, yeah.
$5,000?
Yep. And they're tiny, they're easy to
clean. Here's a story from, this is local. PI reporter Brad Wong reports. Man takes pry bar to self-check till? What's a self-check till?
Oh, this is one of those that will wind up on your Yahoo stories all over
tomorrow.
The world.
You go to the checkout stand, but at the grocery store, at the Home Depot now, where this story
was. Oh, is that what that's called? Yeah. I hate those things, by the way.
Great.
I can never
them.
Get all the way through it without having to embarrass myself by calling the person to assist me.
Yeah. Well, this guy hated it so much, what he was going to buy was a crowbar.
Yeah, all right, so he's at Home Depot. And by the way, I like Home Depot.
I do too.
I don't count on, I don't count on, what's the guy, the real smart guy in the wheelchair?
Stephen Hawking.
I don't count on anyone to be competitive.
You want to park your tile yourself? You'll have to put down a floating support.
I don't
floor.
Count on real brainiacs there. I know that they.
No, that's not fair. A lot of those guys know their trade.
Some do. Some give the others a bad name. But anyway, when I get there, though, when it's time to check out, I'm relieved. I got a big pile of stuff. I don't like the self-checkout thing. And I noticed they just put one in. They have them. It's some Safeways.
Mm-hmm. Fred Meyer's got them.
QFC's.
I think it's a bad idea because the way it looks is there's like five of these things. Uh-huh. And then there's a pulpit at the end where there's one mean woman who watches you all.
She's the warden.
She's the warden,
yep.
And you're the, you're being observed.
Right.
Trying to learn how to be a clerk. Now, by the way, I have no disrespect for clerks. It's often a peed on position. It's considered mm-hmm. the low part of the food chain, and uh-huh. clerks don't make a lot of money, and clerks don't get tips.
Mm-hmm. Great benefits.
Do they get the benefits?
Grocery chains have good deals for employees. You bet.
But clerks do a valuable service to us. And the elimination of clerks, I think, it reminds me of the disappearance of frogs in our forests. I think it's a sign.
It's an indicator species of the economy.
I think it's a problem for our species. Yeah. Because a clerk, a good friendly clerk, and if any of you out there are listening are clerks, you know what I mean. A good friendly clerk is a bright spot in your day.
Yeah,
a good friendly clerk who can do that. Have a nice day, Mr. Rovers. I misspelled my name on the Safeway thing on purpose.
Keep the mailers away.
I don't want anybody following me home. A good clerk, really, to see them eliminated, it's tragic. I think.
But they're never going to be eliminated. They're never going to be eliminated. That's just.
I hope not.
It's a fast pass.
But they're
option.
Trying to train us to be clerks.
No, that's a fast
and I
pass
thought
option.
I had escaped.
I love those things.
When I was a kid, I was pretty sure I was destined for the lowest paying job on the planet before this came along. So anyway, this guy got upset. The story is, I'll do it like you did the Cheetos thing. Guy gets upset because it's taking him time to buy a crowbar, so he whacks the machine with the crowbar. All right, moving on.
Still at large, last time I checked.
And this is local.
Yeah.
$10,000 worth of damage to this machine. And then ran from the store.
These things cost as much as a colonoscope, though,
big
so it's
time.
Probably not,
Well, the thing switched.
It just broke the glass, right?
The thing switched in the Hispanic mode and started speaking to him in Spanish, and he couldn't figure out how to turn it back to English.
Oh, that's the angle on this story, right?
That's what's
the
in
guy's,
him over.
Guy's a racist, right?
Well, he just got frustrated. And
it's America! If I was buying a crowbar in Tijuana, I'd be expected to speak Spanish, but this is America!
Take a look at my girlfriend. She's the only one I got. I'm not much of a girlfriend. I never seem to get along.
It's been some time since we last spoke. This is gonna sound like a bad joke. But mama, I fell in love again. It's safe to say I have a new girlfriend. And I know it sounds so old.
This is the song I was talking about that my son likes.
Hookah Chaka.
Huh? Yeah. I didn't know. I was just making a Hookah Chaka reference.
Oh.
This is the song. I don't know who does it.
Gym Class Heroes, I think.
If that ain't love, then I don't know what love is.
So he said, who did that original song? Take a look at my girlfriend. And at first, I was just, like, so freaked out by it, I couldn't even remember.
Take a look at my girlfriend.
So it's Supertramp. Hang on, Supertramp. Yes, I told him Supertramp.
Is that Breakfast in America?
Yeah. Does Roger Hodgson get a lot of the royalties from
not a whole, not a really lot.
Hodgson doesn't get a lot. He better get a lot.
And I actually kind of like it. I mean, if you have to be in a car stuck with your son listening to one of his songs.
I like it now. I hated it when it first came out because you automatically want to sing the original version.
Yeah,
so you're singing along and you're like, no, no, don't rap. You're interrupting me.
Yeah, Andrew likes that. Andrew's getting more into personal hygiene, too, which is I'm really happy.
Congratulations. Wow.
Was he lax in that area before?
You got to be bad at it to get more into it.
I had a revelation at some point.
You had a personal hygiene moment? Yeah, when was that?
Oh, I don't know.
Was that yesterday?
Well, no. I've been very good smelling for a long time now.
You started washing at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a time we knew you didn't care.
Well, and you build up to it. You start with one thing, and then you add another. Now, I'm not a guy who bathes myself in. I do your typical deodorant and a little splash of cologne here and there. Mm-hmm. Is that the kind of thing he's doing, or? Are you just talking basic?
Is that all you do?
Well, I wash.
You Simonize, you wax, you.
Oh no, I never.
You do the undercoating.
I've never waxed or trimmed a hair anywhere.
You're
except
kidding.
On my face. Never done any of that.
How many times a day you shower?
Once or twice, depending.
Sometimes
on,
twice. Yeah,
sometimes
a day
twice.
Or a week. That wasn't a day. A week. He said.
A day.
Okay.
Yeah.
A day. Okay.
Seriously, he used to wear like the same pants for.
Well,
5 days.
Don't do that every once in a while. I mean, that's, just so you're staying clean. Your
aren't
clothes aren't
getting
dirty.
Aren't you supposed to figure out the hygiene thing the minute you figure out the girl thing?
That's what I'm hoping.
What's the point again?
Andrew is, because we saw him, we caught him with some of that bright smile stuff, that new Crest Whiten Your Own Teeth.
Yeah, that's cool.
And we were like, wow, well, Andrew.
This town has a teeth whiteness problem, first off. Seattle does.
Why?
Because the amount of coffee we drink. Coffee's a teeth killer, man. Stains teeth horribly. And it used to be just smokers had the horrible teeth from the nicotine stains, but in this town, coffee cruds up Seattle's teeth. So we probably sell more white strips than any city in America.
I've never done that. I've never whitened my teeth.
That bleach tray stuff.
And at least it wants me to. There's something about throwing chemicals on there. It's like, it's not the pool. You know, you throw chlorine into the pool.
Little kid, I'm whizzing in my, okay, you know what I'm saying?
I mean, I brush, I floss. Yeah, she got me flossing. But when it comes to hygiene, I think a man should draw the line somewhere. Or we'll be just like girls. Yeah. You know, girls, you want girls to just go for it everywhere.
Yep.
Everything should be like,
clean as whistle. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
You bet.
Yeah.
You know, with the guys who, I mean, they make these body razors now that you trim every hair off your body. I thought chest hair was something you shot for, as you grow older and mature. You get chest hair.
We had a letter from a listener, a woman actually, who's upset with her husband. I don't know if it's still handy.
Should be back there. That was a couple of weeks back.
Husband and beauty products. Here it is. My husband uses more beauty products than I do. And no, he's not a drag queen.
Well, thanks for...
But he spends more money than I do on his grooming from head to toe. Shampoo, hair loss shampoo, conditioner, a leave-in lotion. What's a leave-in lotion?
That's kind of a hair treatment.
That you leave in?
Yeah,
right, leave-in brilliantly named.
Yeah.
Hair gel,
yeah.
Shaving foam, aftershave, moistening lotion,
wow.
Lip balm, cologne, deodorant, hand lotion.
And he keeps going to the airport. Doesn't fly anywhere. It's like the thing at the airport. Is there a problem? I wrote our senator. They've had lunch.
Nail acrylic on a man.
Oh.
Foot scrubbing lotion, powders. And a bunch of other things that I'm not getting into in this public email.
Damn.
I think it's too much. He looks good. I won't deny that it does feel fantastic to have such a nice, clean man all the time. But sometimes I wish he had a little musk.
Yeah.
By the way, I don't even wear any makeup, for heaven's sakes. And sometimes when I grab his hands, they feel softer than mine.
Wow.
I'm not sure. I'm sure she's very beautiful. You
I'm
know,
sure.
Or could be.
But this guy's pampered. He's potions and lotions. He's got it going on, man.
Maybe it's because he's not in a job that's very demanding on his body. He's in sales. So I sort of understand why he has to look good and groom. But couldn't he just relax on his days off? He gets up on the weekends and puts all this junk on. Seriously, I know how most men probably feel when they wait for their woman to come out of the bathroom. Damn. How can I convince my man to roughen up a bit? Thank you, Jill in Seattle.
Well, you can have an affair with the lawn guy.
It's one way to get the message out there.
Brawny shows up in his flannel shirt, and, you know, have at him.
By the way, I was doing some reading about this. Man, it's some strange stuff. On vacation, I read a lot.
Yeah.
And there was, did I get this in Scientific American? Where did I get this? Probably better that I can't remember the source. But it said that, and I know Eric will back this up because we've talked about this before, the natural odors and musks of men and women actually communicate a great deal of information that we're not actually aware of.
That's very true. In fact, smell is a more primitive part of the brain than sight and our higher thinking.
Studies have been done on women and men smelling each other without being able to see each other.
Okay.
And picking who they would like to date.
Ooh, I don't know if I like that one.
And by the way, I think we're conditioned by the beauty industry to be repulsed by our own. See, you just did. I think what you just did is Madison Avenue.
Thank you.
Sweet. Yeah.
You reminded me of Natalie Portman there in that movie, right? When you did that.
When she was a stripper?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Remember?
That's
when he was insulting her and she would go, thank, and he would give her a dollar and she would say,
thank you.
Thank you.
Do I get a dollar for that?
No. you're already getting paid. So anyway, what this study said, it said one thing that is actually very disturbing, and I'm trying to think of a polite way to say it on the radio. It said that we use so many beauty products on our face, and that when Western women went to the whole shave their armpits thing, that and men got so clean, it said that the incidences of presidential type sex went way up, and that it's a natural need for us to actually, you know,
reek,
find out what you really smell like.
Well, there was a book in the 70s that was hugely popular called The Joy of Sex by Alex Comfort. And he says in that book that was very popular that our natural odors are more potent and more effective than anything you can buy in the store.
Do you believe that?
I believe that clean sweat works. I think, you know, being a little...
It's got a born-on date.
Yeah, yeah. Being a little sweaty after a workout or something.
Yeah, nobody's going to pull me date
well,
on there, too.
That can be kind
best
of
if used by.
Yeah, but, you know, haven't bathed in a week, been living on the street sweat. I don't think anybody finds that kind of smell.
Your own musk has a shelf life.
Right, but okay. I think recently, like I've been out chasing something to eat sweat, you know, like a hunter would have.
I've provided for you.
Yeah, and as a guy, I think that, you know what, my job is to be, and I think Joe's got it right, the job is to be, you know, rinsed off once in a while.
Sure.
That's basically it. That's all you need.
That ought to be enough for him, huh, bud?
Just
so there's no chunks of anything.
Oh, man, really? Okay. I guess there's somewhere between, you know, Metro Man here.
Well, but when you have something that's called a leave-on cream,
yeah.
I think you're losing your maleness.
That's what got the president problem.
I really do. Acrylic nails? Come on.
Dude, this guy's so borderline feminine. I mean, you can be clean. You can smell good without being, you know, daily hand lotion and acrylics on your nails and leave-on gels in your hair. Even on your day off, you don't have a Saturday morning scratch and perp on your way to the Sunday paper, you know?
Yeah, and it gets a little prohibitive to the family budget. I mean, I spend maybe, I think $13-14 a year on this stuff. I get it, you know. I get a huge.
That's great.
All right. Is there a metrosexual man out there who'd like to defend the increase in beauty products being used by men? 1-800-252-1025. Anybody out there?
Ooh, that smell. Can't you smell that smell?
Dear Flabby, my husband is overdoing it with beauty products. He uses more beauty products than a woman. He's not a drag queen. Leave-in lotion, shampoo, conditioner, hair gel, shaving foam, aftershave, moistening lotion, lip balm, cologne, deodorant, hand lotion, nail acrylic, foot scrubbing lotion, and things for his crotch that I will not mention.
Thank you.
Is there anybody out there who is upset with how much their man is using products that men should not use? Or do you ladies wish that we men would do more, would spend more time, would get more sucked into this, you know, Madison Avenue idea that the body as it is, no good? Men, should men start turning into women?
Dear God, no. We count on men to be very even keel when it comes to telling us, oh, you look fine without makeup, don't worry about it, and if you're doing more foo-fooing than I am, I'm not buying that.
What does John do? Basic rinse?
He's a Pert Plus kind of guy.
Pert Plus?
Really? Yep, you know, shampoo, conditioner, and one.
That's cheapo. One shampoo does everything.
You don't need to condition after that.
He doesn't have some sea salt rub to get the calluses on his feet nice and smooth for you.
No, thankfully no.
I think she likes him rough. Yeah, she likes him really like sandpaper.
Yeah.
Number 12.
Yeah, yeah.
I hear a lot of women like the rough and tumble guy. You know, a little bit of an after shadow there.
All right, she wants to know, how can I convince him to roughen up a bit, Jill? Thank you. 1-800-252-1025. We did not get a guy who uses a lot of beauty products. Maybe he's afraid to call. Maybe those kinds of guys are a little wimpy. Maybe they won't pick up the phone and call 1-800-252-1025. Is there a guy listening who uses leave-on lotions, nail acrylic, foot scrubbers, special foot scrubbers?
Maybe there's one we're missing out on. I mean, if there is something out there that you think works great and is worth the money,
convince us. What beauty product are we missing out on as men? Mike Jones, go.
Well, I'll stand up for this. I make regular visits to the MAC cosmetics counter at Nordstrom.
What is the MAC?
That's where your old girlfriend worked. What's up with that?
That's right. Well, because she
That's how he
me
met
in.
Her, by the way.
Yeah.
Well, no, I met her through this show.
Which psycho are we talking about?
You remember the psycho we dragged on vacation with us?
And oh, okay.
Which pending lawsuit are we talking about?
Oops.
We're not naming any names, buddy.
She turned me on to a bunch of products that on one of my first dates with Jocelyn, I said, hey, we were at the mall. I'm like, I need to pick up something at Nordstrom. And she thought I was going to shoes or clothes. No, I go to the MAC counter.
Whoa, putty cat.
What's, all right, I don't even, never even heard of the MAC counter. I've heard of the Big Mac counter, where Joe and I love the
99 chip value menu.
Sauce dripping right out the side.
MAC cosmetics are a very upper.
It's for men only?
No.
Mostly
no.
For women. They have That's the best eyeshadows, and if you go to, they're the counter where you have very colorful stuff.
You know what? If I want an eyeshadow, I'll stay up for 3 days and earn it.
Do you wear eyeshadow, Mike?
Only on the weekends. No, I do not.
What product do you buy then?
I use a moisturizer, two kinds of moisturizer, and I use their shaving cream.
For your head?
Yeah. Well, no. Actually, I only use the shaving cream on my... No, I use it on my whole head.
That's for the Moby-shaved head that you have.
Exactly.
Okay.
Where do you moisturize, Mike?
Face, and then they have a special one for around the eyes.
Oh, my God.
you use eye cream? Feet, my love.
Well, he's got a hot young bride. He better keep those crow's feet at bay.
Yeah.
She'll go off and look for something else.
And wouldn't you agree that, you know, among people on the show, I have pretty nice skin. I look pretty good for my age, I think.
He does.
He does get carded still from time to time. And he's a man
you almost glow.
Over 40.
1-800-252-1025. Carl in Fife, go ahead.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Okay.
I just wanted to say I got a solution for this lady's problem. Take him camping for about 3 or 4 days. Make sure he leaves the products at home.
He'll go nuts.
Yeah, that'll just spiral him out of control.
This guy in the woods, unpampered, uncoiffed, unbuffed.
Eric's done that, by the way, and Eric's our metrosexual. He's being quiet. I don't know how pampered you are.
I used to be really bad. I would never go out of the house without putting something in my hair, whether it was a gel or some kind of spray or something like that.
Did you ever, like, file down your own corns on the bottom of your feet and toes?
Buff them.
Yeah.
Did you buff them?
Yeah. I did. Really?
I've never touched those. Those are virgin forest.
Do you attend to your cuticles, Eric?
Yeah. I do, wow. Myself. Uh-huh. I've never had a manicure, never had a pedicure, but when Monique took me camping last week, I went for probably 6 days without a shower.
By the way, remember wow. I told the story of having a pedicure?
Yeah.
And I went there just because of the hot young Asian women, who sure. I'm pretty sure were illegal, massaging my feet for an hour. It was fantastic.
It is a fun thing.
I'm upfront about it. I really could care less
really
about the pedicure. Yeah. That pedicure was a disaster.
Why?
Because they trimmed my toenails so much that they got ingrown. And you know how bad that feels when your big toes ingrown, and as it starts to grow out, it just slices through the skin.
Mm.
It took me a while to get them all gnarly looking again like I like them.
Well, what happens, by the way, to someone like me, once you are away from civilization, after a while you just say, ah, the heck with it, and you just drop everything.
So you were able to let go.
I didn't shave. I didn't do anything. Yeah.
You got to get back to your manhood.
Carl, we'll leave that for Jill. I think that's a good idea. Take him camping where he can't get at the stuff. Joe in Seattle, hello.
I'd never go camping 6 days without a shower. I'd go find one. After 1.5 days, I'd be hunting a shower.
So you're one of these metrosexual men. What sort of things do you do to your body that are typical for you but not for most men?
Well, I think that most of what I do is typical. I don't put any kind of facial cream on and that stuff, but I'll get a pedicure manicure every few weeks.
I'm sorry, you're not a man.
They do call them manicures. I mean,
no,
I
it's a womanicure.
You know what? Let me tell you something. I came in, you know, I'd go to those places begrudgingly with women to sit around and watch them do it. Then slowly, every once in a while, I'd get one. Then next thing you know, yeah, I like the little Asian women, and I like it when they rub me, massage me.
Yeah, that's what I'd like to go in there just for that.
Happy ending,
can I go leave my nails alone?
Happy ending manicure with a hearty handshake.
I don't need a happy ending. I'll get that at home.
Handshake.
But the massaging is very nice.
Yeah? Yeah.
I used to get a haircut from
bathe me, massage me, that sort of stuff.
I used to get a haircut from a gal that I used to think was a man until she reached out to take my $20 and these big hairy man hands came in and took it.
Ouch. God. Thank you, Joe. Frank in Tacoma is another one. Frank.
Yeah, all this lady's got to do is look at a guy who's already roughed up in a movie or walking by and tell her husband how sexy that guy looks, and he'll have to try to look like him.
That's where we started. Make him jealous.
Catch her staring at the brawny paper towel roll in the grocery store aisle, just looking at that flannel shirt-wearing, need-a-shave guy with an axe in his hand.
Thank you, Frank. We had another metrosexual on, but he...
Dude, he had an appointment for a buff.
A lot of cats in the studio today.
Mustache. Oh, mustache. Got it. If you're one of the few men who still sports a handsome mustache, Aaron Perlute salutes you. Aaron is the executive director of the St. Louis-based American Mustache Institute. And he says that men with a little hair above the lip are actually starting to be discriminated against in the workplace. Aaron Perlute, welcome to the Bob Rivers Show. Hello.
Morning. Thanks for having me on.
And is it Perlut?
Perlut.
Perlut. Okay. Aaron Perlut, you have a big mustache?
I have a luxurious mustache, of course, yes.
Of course. Luxurious. And when did things start going bad for the mustache? I seem to recall in the 70s they were considered pretty hip.
Yeah, I think historically if you look back to the 70s and maybe to the early 80s is really when there was a demise of the mustache, I hate to say. But the mustache certainly started to go down in its level of popularity. And there's a lot of theories as to why, and of course that's one of the things that the American Mustache Institute is looking into.
It seems the mustache became associated with porn stars and womanizing men.
No question, you do see them quite a lot in the porn industry. But I think the demise might have been associated with the disco era because, you know, at the end of the 70s, there was such a strenuous attempt to get away from the disco era. You saw these signs that said disco sucks. You know, in the 70s, if you had a perm, a mustache, and a turtleneck, you were ready to roll. And, you know, a lot of those things culturally seemed to be left behind at the end of the 70s into the early 1980s. And I think also some of our mustached heroes went away because, you know, we're a very celebrity-driven culture. And, I mean, think about the last news broadcaster, an anchor on the national spectrum who had a mustache. That's Walter Cronkite. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think he retired in 1984 from CBS News.
Yeah, yeah, but nobody ever accused Walter Cronkite of having a porn career. Do it to me hard. Do it to me now.
Now, I understand even your wife would prefer you not have the mustache. It was up to her.
That would be her preference. She says she loves the man and not the mustache, so she's very kind and tolerant.
So why don't you just give it up?
Because I'm a pioneer. I look at myself as a central figure in history, fighting to bring back the mustache into popular culture.
Here's to you.
Here's to you, Mr. Mustache in popular culture.
Mr. Living in the past, Mr. Turtleneck waiting to come back out of retirement.
I haven't seen your mustache, and you say it's a luxurious one. Last week was the Mustache Championships or whatever, and they showed some pictures of guys with some incredible, I mean, real works of art mustaches. Is that the kind you have, or do you just have a little hair above your lip kind of mustache?
I've got a nice, thick, frothy mustache, but the guys that went over to the World Beard and Mustache Championships in Brighton, England, those are the real professionals. Those are the guys that are really committed to looking, I'm not going to say ridiculous, but they're not concerned about how they look, because they grow out some very artistic mustaches. And
nice.
The beauty is there's no such thing as a bad mustache. We're a non-discriminatory organization, so even if you grow a really bad stash like an Adam Morrison of the Charlotte Bobcats, that's okay. It's the effort that counts.
Well, who did more to harm the mustache's credibility? Was it Hitler or Tom Selleck?
Hitler certainly ruined the mustache we call the dictator mustache.
Right? Oh, yeah.
No,
aptly named dictator mustache.
Now, Tom Selleck,
no one wants that one anymore.
Well, I know Joe's from Mississippi, and in Mississippi they're actually still wearing those mustaches, which I find incredible. But
there are some. Yeah.
I think Mississippi does have the most mustaches per capita of any state in the union.
Well, it's funny you mention it. I was certainly the last person on our show to do away with the mustache. I had one up until, probably a year or two ago.
Me too.
And never thought twice about it.
And it's a crying shame you don't still have one.
I have to say, Spike, I know you put down Tom Selleck, but I was going to suggest him, actually, as your spokesperson, because he has always made it look sexy.
Tom Selleck is, he's a god of the mustache world. I mean, and the funny thing about Tom is there wasn't anything particularly special about his mustache. But then when he did away with it for that Three Men and a Baby movie, because I guess it wasn't family friendly, his sex appeal really lessened, I think. I'm speaking as a married man. The guy's a great looking guy, but he was certainly a pioneer of the mustache. But the guy who's really kept it going is Burt Reynolds.
Don't say Burt. I knew this.
Wait a minute.
Dude, he's a parody of himself. So
yeah.
Tom Selleck.
And what about the dude?
I think a lot of people poke fun at Burt, but he is still considered quite a stud.
What about the dude on Dateline? What's his name?
Well, there's John Stossel.
Stossel has a mustache, doesn't he?
A porn stash.
Yeah, John is actually one of the, I think, two people that I can think of that are in news broadcasting that still have the mustache. John and Geraldo Rivera, and we're not quite sure if he counts anymore.
I think I rented a porn movie with both of those guys in it, though.
Oh, man.
Are you serious when you say people are getting discriminated against in the workplace, that there's some are getting passed up on promotions and opportunities simply because of a mustache?
Well, I think if you talk to a young person today and they're going out for a professional interview, they will tell you one of the first things they're going to do is make sure they're clean shaven. Now,
really?
I have a friend who's the chief operating officer of a very large energy company in the Southeast, and before he entered their executive ranks, he was told by their CEO...
This calls for an is there anybody out there?
I'm sorry?
Hold on. Is there anybody out there who feels they have to be clean-shaven for an interview or that they were discriminated against because of their mustache? Anybody out there think they lost out?
Right, passed over?
Because of the stash. 1-800-252-1025.
I don't... Stash-lash?
Stash-lash.
Yeah.
I don't know about that. I suppose if it's creeping in, we're not aware of it, is it? I mean, we're not aware that this... You're bringing awareness to this no one else ever has.
Well, I think, though, just look around, in a professional workplace, and just look in popular culture altogether, you just don't see a lot of men with mustaches anymore. And it's a crying shame. It really is.
What is the primary benefit, you say, of having a mustache?
Well, it's the only known cure for cold upper lip syndrome. And that's important.
Sure.
You don't want any women that have been suffering with cold upper lip syndrome for years, with the exception of the 1964 Women's East German Olympic team. But it's also great for, you know, for flavor saving, for food storage, for saving nuts and berries for the winter hibernation season. Huh. So a tremendous number of health aspects to it.
Now, do you wax your mustache, or is mustache wax like a typewriter, something you just can't find in the stores anymore? It's gotten so out of style.
It is very difficult to find. I actually, at times, have waxed the tips of my mustache. Right now, I'm sporting kind of like a Fu Manchu. It's actually called the horseshoe mustache. It's like a Fu Manchu, but it stops just short at the base of the chin, so I have no need for it. But there has been times where I've tried to do the little handlebar like Raleigh Fingers.
I love the handlebar.
The handlebar is classic, and Raleigh is still wearing that mustache.
Aaron, I will stand corrected, because there's a lot of supporters on the phone here for you, more so than I expected. Trevor in Seattle, go ahead.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Okay.
I'm just calling in regards to, I'm 28 years old. About 2.5 years ago in Seattle, when I was interviewing for a lot of interviews, they had me shave all my facial hair. It was highly looked down upon, and currently right now, the position I'm in, I am not allowed to have any facial hair. I do right now, but when I go on to my meetings and trade shows, I have to shave my face.
What industry are you in? Are you doing your all Bette Midler review at a
game club? I'm actually in sales and negotiating, and I'm a buyer. So.
You're a buyer. And that's what Aaron was saying. In sales positions these days, they want the facial hair gone.
Yep. It's pretty unbelievable. I mean, I'm a clean-cut guy. I wear suits during my meetings, but, you know, it's a business casual environment. There are guys with mustaches in the higher ranks, but, you know, it's anytime I try and negotiate, why can't I have this? You know, it seems to be a big deal.
Would you, Aaron, be in favor of legislation, preserving hair freedom?
We will bring legislation to the halls of justice. We'll first start on the state-by-state basis, and then we'll take it to the federal level. We are supportive of any action that is pro-mustache.
Chris in Seattle, go ahead.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Okay.
Yeah, I was turned down a job at a Nordstrom in Seattle because I had a mustache going, and I actually turned the job down because they wanted me to shave to be presentable to customers.
I think, you know, that's okay. You go with what's accepted when you're trying to sell somebody something.
What are we going
to
make, first dogfighting, now this goes away?
you look at our staff. You look at our sales staff, Rock and Roll Radio. Not one of the men has a mustache.
Nope. She's right.
Aaron, you got to get in there.
Well, you know, I think also one of the frustrations you're going to find is, especially with the young people today, you know, your Generation Y, this is a highly expressive generation. And quite frankly, you know, research has shown they don't like to be told what to do. And a mustache is a form of expression. So I think it's very frustrating to young people. So I do think that it's going to be a message that young people are going to jump onto as a way to express themselves. And it's a lot less painful than getting a tattoo.
All right, the only argument I'll have against that, Aaron, is that maybe the reason it's going out of fashion is because, you know, like pull my finger, people aren't really attracted to it.
But, you know, everything is cyclical, and it is time. It's been about 30 years now. It is time.
It's Dave, time. In Federal Way, you have the last word on the mustache. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi, fellas. I was in the Army for 20 years, and whenever we went up for a promotion or a promotion board, we'd shave off our mustaches because that was the one thing that they would nitpick on you, and if you had a mustache, you were more than likely to get turned down for the promotion.
Wow. Aaron, your point is well made. Thank you.